And on that note, I want to dive into the Word of God today. And again, I'm not going to have you stand because apparently I brutalized everyone last week for 25 minutes. So I don't want to do that again this week. However, if you want to stand for 25 minutes again on your own, no one is stopping you. Please feel free to stand anytime at any point in the sermon. It's fine. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. But I do want to dive into the scripture. And I want us to, if you have your Bible, since you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And here comes my lovely wife right there. Isn't she lovely? Sorry, just impromptu. This is important because one of the most frequent themes in the Bible is the ability to hear God. Spiritual hearing. And it's a huge deal if we can't hear God. And I just want to just kind of start this off and just show you a couple places. And we're going to go back to the source of this. But not being able to hear the words of the Spirit of God is a big issue. And in Revelation, most every letter in the book of Revelation to the church, there is a little phrase that we see at the end of almost every letter. And here's a sample here in Revelation chapter 3. My clicker is not working, so someone will have to space bar for me, if you would. He who has an ear to hear, if you could wipe out that background, that would be perfect. There we go. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we see here in Revelation, the Spirit of God writes a letter. John the Revelator, he's writing things down as the Holy Spirit gives him. And at the end of about every letter, it says, hey, for he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And it's some pretty heavy-duty stuff. Because if we're not able to hear the Spirit of God, we're going to be shipwrecked in life. In fact, if we can't hear the Spirit of God, we'll never be saved. We'll never walk in repentance. We'll never have God's direction in our life. We'll never be able to respond to what the Holy Spirit says. So listen very carefully this morning. This is critical, critically important in our lives, that we always make sure that our hearts are postured in such a way that we always hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is something that I prayed over my children when they were little every single night. It's something I pray over my grandchildren when I have opportunity. If they're spending the night, Lord Jesus, help them always to have a tender heart towards your Holy Spirit. What am I praying? Help them always to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them, the church. Now this continues in the gospel. The Bible says Jesus was, several times he mentioned this in Matthew 13, when people who could hear, yet they couldn't hear. And here we have this scripture. Jesus talking here, indeed in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah, we're going to get to Isaiah in just a second. The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. You hear that? He's talking about people who ultimately reject Christ. Even though they've been to church, they hear the Word of God, they're confronted with the truth, they're confronted with who Jesus is. Some of them see miracles, some of them see powerful things, and yet they don't get it. You've ever known anyone like that? It's because salvation is a miracle, my friends. It's a revelation from God. Unfortunately, not everybody has that, and that's what we are praying for. That's what we're seeking, that God will reveal to them. Because spiritual hearing is revelation. Everyone say revelation. Being revealed is something that's always there. It wasn't like it just popped up. It was always there. You just couldn't see it, right? And suddenly the Holy Spirit pulls the curtain back, right? And all of a sudden, like, oh, there it is. And then we can act like it just showed up. We can act like, you know, well, it wasn't there a minute ago. No. It was there. You just didn't see it. Right? It's like sometimes like one of those puzzles where you're looking for, like, where's Waldo? Right? Okay, we have 27 Waldos in this picture. I can only find 24 of them. They made a mistake. No, they were there. We just couldn't see them until it was like, aha. Verse 15. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and I would heal them. Notice this is closely connected with a lot of scripture having to do with prayer. We think of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven, and then I will heal their land. There is healing. And in this sense, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's mental, it's physical. But the deal is, you can't receive any of that stuff if your hearing isn't correct. And Jesus, talking to his disciples, he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Not talking about physical ears. Not talking about physical eyes. Talking about your spirit. So what I want you to do is I want you to dive in with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 6. And this is a very familiar passage. It's one that, I don't know, I probably preach on once a year in some form or fashion. How many are there? Isaiah 6? All right. Only half the hands went up, so we'll wait. I'm just kidding. Everybody have it for reals? Okay. Close Facebook. All right. Close Twitter. TikTok. Don't run those demon programs in here. Come on. All right, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Now, just a reminder, Jesus said what? This is a prophecy being fulfilled in front of your eyes that Isaiah prophesied. All right, this is what Jesus was talking about. High and lifted up, the train of his robe filled the temple. This is the scene of the throne room of God. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If this verse sounds familiar, it is a scene that we see replayed again in the book of Revelation, where we see a similar scene where the living creatures with the six wings are saying this over and over. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is there. I mean, we have that whole picture in Revelation. But here it just stops and says, the whole earth is full of his glory. I want you to know one of the hallmark characteristics of our God is holiness. I know we understand and learn that God is love. I know we understand that we have a God of justice. I know we understand that his mercy triumphs over judgment. We understand he's a God of mercy. We understand that he is also a God of judgment. He's been revealed as all of these things. I find it interesting that the living creatures in heaven, when they surround God, they aren't saying love, love, love. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Happy, happy, happy. They are saying, holy, holy, holy. I want to tell you, when you get in God's, when God's presence shows, and people talk a lot about God's presence, and I think they mean a good feeling, a little goosebumps, and a little, ooh, the lead guitar player hit that one riff in the middle of their favorite K-Love worship song that the worship band does on Sunday. Oh, I just felt the Spirit. Maybe not. I'm not saying you didn't. But I want to tell you, when the Spirit of the living God is present, the first thing that you will notice is you feel undone. Because he is holy and we are not. People have asked me, I've said this before, people ask me, you know, Pastor Eric, in the 90s when revival came, the Brownsville revival and the Toronto revival, I was at Toronto, I was down at Pensacola, I had a chance to visit both of those revivals, and I want to tell you, the power of God is an awesome thing, and revival is something we pray for, because it ignites a passion in the church, it brings the church off their duffs and into the game, it gets the people off the sideline and serving Jesus like it matters again, it fires up a heart of a man or a woman who have served God, but they've grown cold inside. Revival will refire you and ignite something powerful inside of you. That's why we need revival. The church needs revival. And I want to tell you, that's why we pray for revival. That people say, hey, when you remember back to those days in the 90s when revival was happening and you guys were having church every night and there was just whatever going on and the power of God, and people were coming up and they were throwing their dope in the altar and they were throwing their cigarettes in the altar and they were throwing their alcohol in the altar. They were getting rid of all that stuff. Because see, some of that stuff's okay now because so many people in the church are backslidden. We're doing it because we're backslidden. But when the Spirit of God comes down, people say, what was that like? I said, you know, the first thing I remember feeling and continue to feel was Isaiah 6. I sensed a greater measure of the holiness of God. There's this sense that I am not going to take any chances with anything questionable in my life. I am not going to have any secrets. I am going to lay all of it down to the Lord Jesus Christ because it's not worth it compared to Him. Now, Isaiah, here he's standing. See, aren't you glad you're sitting? You would already be 10 minutes in and still hadn't made it through Isaiah 6 yet. Verse 4, and the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, look at verse 5. Woe is me. Now the word woe is not like what you would say to a horse to get him to stop. This is a different kind of woe. That's even spelled differently. This is something that declares and states that, whoa, hold on, something ain't right, something's wrong in me. That woe is me. I've got something bad descending on me. I'm having an awareness. What Isaiah was having right here, is everyone still with me? Come on, let's get over our turkey crush. Come on, here we go. Isaiah was having a piece of revelation right here. He got in the presence of God. He saw God. He saw the throne. He saw all of this. And suddenly, something was revealed to him. We're going somewhere. We're talking about ears to hear today. Something was revealed to him. He realized that he was about to face some impending woe. And he states what it is. Are you with me there in Isaiah 6? Verse 5. For I am lost. It's interesting, he was a prophet, but yet in God's presence, he said, I don't even know him. That's something else I heard many, many, many times. Julie, am I right? How many people that said, you know, we thought we were saved. Revival came, the presence of God came in a power. We thought we were saved, but we realized we're lost. Brownsville had, I don't know how many, a million or 2 million people that during 5 years of services came and gave their heart to the Lord. I would guess, even though they had all kinds of, they had celebrities there. They had Playboy bunnies doing Playboy bunny shoots out on the beach in Pensacola. They would happen into the service. God would hit them. They had celebrities, had all kinds of people saved. But my guess when I was there, that most of the people coming forward to get right with God were church people. And if you look at the church today, I would say we need revival as much as we've ever needed it before. I was thinking maybe a couple more amens right in there would be. We need the manifest presence of God. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people who have unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from the tongs of the altar. You ever thought how interesting that is? Here's a supernatural being who probably isn't limited by time and space. They're not God, right? But they are a supernatural being, right? I mean, they got six wings and they got all this stuff going on, right? They're flying around heaven for eternity. Isn't it interesting that they have to have a pair of oven mitts and tongs to get a coal out? Why would something hot bother them? They're not bothered by time, space. They go through walls. They can appear where they want to appear. Why would they have to have tongs to touch something hot? What was on that altar? I'll talk about that later. Not today, though. Okay? These are things that keep me up at night thinking sometimes. And they took tongs. And this is not, by the way, not the only. In Revelation, the angel takes a scepter, which is something similar, and scoops coals. Again, you think, why would an angel be concerned about something hot? Right? Interesting. And they touched the coal to my mouth. And behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And this is what God told Isaiah to say. And interesting, it also has to do with hearing. And this is the prophecy Jesus referred to. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy, and they blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. There is something, my friends, powerful in the ability to hear God in our hearts. There is something powerful that must hear me. It's got to be non-negotiable in our life. It's got to be something that we at all costs protect. Our ability to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. I would recommend that it's probably one of the most important things that we can do as believers is keep our hearts sensitive to be able to hear with our ears, so to speak, our spiritual ears, and see with our spiritual eyes, because it is that important that we have the ability to hear what God is saying. My fear is today multitudes in churches across America are sitting and they are as dead as a doornail. Unfortunately on social media we can see that. We see drag queen show. I saw a Sunday service where it had drag queens coming down the center aisle on Facebook. I want to tell you, that's an abomination to God. I watched a clip of a man dressed as a woman, and it was apparently the pastor of a church, and it had quite a few people in it. It was shocking, Brother Dylan. He was up there, obviously a man dressed as a woman, and he was talking about how spiritual his transition moment was. And he tried to somehow connect it to the Beatitudes of all things. And he was up there, and all these people were clapping for him. And they had the keyboardist move to the keyboard. And it sounded like an altar service in an evangelical church. And they're talking about, and here, and my moment of transition was just so such an anointed time. Say, God help us. That's an abomination to the king. Saw another guy talking, a pastor, saying how much we could learn from the LGBTQ community. And as he was preaching, lightning struck the church and the power went out and the sound went out. And everybody laughed. It came back on. He goes, no, yeah, that wasn't the judgment of God, everyone. I'm like, yeah, well, wouldn't that stand to read? A guy that probably didn't even believe in the judgment of God wouldn't recognize the judgment of God if it fell out of the sky, landed on his face, and wiggled. You say, how can these things be happening in church? How can there's pastors who are advocating for abortion. And listen, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, independent, Democrat, or if you just work at McDonald's, my friend, if you think abortion is okay, you have a demon on board. Period. Period. And we look at things like this happening. We see the church at large. We say, how can all of this be happening? And well, here it is, my friends, because they have ears, but they're not hearing the Spirit of God anymore. They have eyes, but they're not perceiving. And even though they're reading the same Bible we are, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter, because you can still, if you could hear Jesus 2,000 years ago and Jesus in person, you hear him, but you don't change. What's any different today? You can read the Bible and have the same thing happen to you. You can read the Bible front to back. You can memorize scripture and still not hear God's voice. So how do we maintain ears to hear, eyes to see? I want to dive into that for just the next few moments, because there are some conditions to having an ear to hear that we at all cost must make sure we have. And let me just throw this in, because probably the younger half of our congregation today is, you know, I don't know, I think everyone probably is on board and agrees with what I said, or you probably wouldn't be here. But I want to tell you, we say this in love. We want homosexuals to be saved. We want transgender people to be saved, right? We want God's right. We welcome anybody here who wants to walk in the church. But listen, we're not going to reduce the gospel. We're not going to water it down. We're going to tell them the truth, because the truth will set people free. I want to tell you what happens when people behind the pulpit, when ministers of God become compromised, that is when we've got a big problem, because they are standing up here, according to 1 Peter, speaking for God, which is essentially what a pastor does in a sense, and people are hearing this and they are being deceived by the gifted people in the church. Your musicians, your pastors. And Jesus warned of this. He warned people about following what he called Pharisees, and that's what that religious sect was. But they were so in love with their rules. They were so in love with their stuff. They were so in love with their current day wokeness back then, that they had people trying to fit in this little narrow thing that they were trying to impose upon. And Jesus said, they're all man-made. It's all junk. And Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, you both will fall into a ditch. We need to hear. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this first thought I want to give you this morning. Number one. Yeah, I love that verse. But blessed are your eyes, because they hear and they see. Thank God. Number one, a hearing heart or hearing ear requires a regenerated heart. A hearing ear requires a regenerated heart. You'll never hear without regeneration. If you're not hearing, I want to tell you, that should make you question things. But don't worry about it. That's what Paul said. We need to test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We don't create new doctrine. We don't create new theology. We don't try to make excuses. If we've got some issues, we got some ongoing things in our life, and we don't feel bad about it. We think, oh, that's just fine. But it goes against God's word. Oh, yeah, but I think you're looking at it the wrong way, brother. I want to tell you, we need to ask ourselves, do we belong to the house of God? Are we truly a part of the body of Christ? Because you see, only a regenerated heart can even ever hear the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how about unsaved people, people that don't know the Lord? Well, you know, the only thing they can hear is a call to repentance. That's the only hearing they can even muster. And they can't even muster it themselves. It has to be a gift from God. Because you know, you can't even decide when you get saved. How many of you know that? Holy Spirit decides that. Right? As we read Isaiah 6, I want you to see something in this story. Notice that Isaiah saw the Lord before he could hear him. Do you see the significance of that? He saw the Lord. He saw him high and lifted up. You can go back and read. The train filled the temple. He saw the seraphims. He felt the furniture shaking as the voice of these seraphims spoke. And then only after the angel took the coal and laid it on his lips and cleansed him of his sin, then suddenly, look at it, verse 5 or 6, I think it is, I heard the Lord. There has to be a regeneration before we can hear the voice of the Lord. It was only after Isaiah was cleansed that he could understand what God was saying to him. I'd like to say in general today, it's easier to see Jesus than to hear him. A lot of people encountered Jesus. A lot of people witnessed his miracles, heard his teaching, and still missed what he said. It's same true today. A lot of people come into a lot of good churches, a lot of good churches around, and they preach the gospel, they preach the word, and they will go in, and they will hear, and they will have an opportunity. The Spirit of God will convict the person on their right. He'll convict the person on their left. And they're sitting, looking at their watch, open up, see if they have any new texts since the last 2 minutes they looked a minute ago, and they're rechecking, and they are oblivious to what the the Spirit of God is doing in their life and trying to woo them, it's because, my friend, there is something powerful that happens because we always will see Jesus probably before we hear him. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. A couple verses later, after he was cleansed, he could see him, he could hear him. When Jesus wept over Jerusalem in Luke 19, he said, "Destruction is coming to the city because you missed your time of visitation from the Lord." These are the people he ministered to. He healed their sick. He raised their dead. He did all kinds of teaching. He performed many, 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 many miracles. About AD 30, Jesus sat looking over Jerusalem. The Bible says he wept. And he said, "There will not be one stone left upon you." He predicted and prophesied what would happen in 70 AD when the Roman army would come in and completely level Jerusalem. That's what they did. Not one, that was the order. In fact, not one stone is going to be left on the other. And Jesus said, this was an unavoidable circumstance. This was an unavoidable judgment, because if you hadn't missed your time of visitation, if your ears had been tender, if your eyes had been open, you could have been able to repent, and I would have healed you, and I would have changed the outcome that is coming 30 years to 40 years down the road. But instead, they missed it. And I want to tell you, it's no different today. There are a lot of people, they're sitting in churches, they're sitting in homes, they're sitting in places, and they say they believe God, but their heart is far from him, and they're living truly a life of selfishness, doing what they want to do, and the Lord is wooing them and calling them. The question is, will they hear? If you can hear and feel conviction in your heart, thank God for that, because there's people that hear many sermons like this. They got all kinds of sin going in their life. And they don't know they're an enemy of God. See, the play here is that we all need to humble ourselves. I believe we should start by repenting of every known sin we have. You don't need to come throw your dope or whatever on the platform, although that might be what the Lord wants you to do. But I'm just saying, we've got to get things right in private. We don't ever lose our ability to hear. If we're going to have spiritual hearing, we have to receive it through the same path that Jesus taught, the apostles taught, the prophet Isaiah taught. It comes through the path of repentance. There is no other way. You can't watch enough Isaiah Saldivar on TV. You can't watch enough YouTube videos. You can't go to enough prophetic meetings. We can't download enough sermons and say, "Prophetic revelations for 2023. Oh, here we go." No, you want prophetic revelation in your life? We got to get clean right here. Thank you, five people. Supernatural hearing requires the help of supernatural regeneration. You ever notice that the world can't hear spirits? They can't even perceive spiritual things. You notice that? I've been following the story, and I dove into it a little bit this week because I've been hearing some terrible things about this lady. I don't know if I should even mention her name. She's a public figure. I'll just let you figure it out. She's a congresswoman in Colorado. Just got reelected, very narrow. Like, I want to say 500 votes. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Congress lady, Colorado. I found out she's a Christian. And there was a church in the Denver area, or wherever her district is, had a video of her last summer preaching there. And it was Pentecostal. Because, see, you recognize your type. You recognize your tribe, right? I looked the church up. Yeah, sure enough, they are. But I watched their worship service. I think they're Pentecostal. Yeah, they are. Turns out this lady, this congresswoman, is a radical Pentecostal Christian.
But I was hearing all of this. Well, her husband did this one time. And her, she had an OnlyFans page. And she back blah, 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 blah. I thought, man, if that's all true. But then I looked back and I thought, Brother Dylan, that was 15, 20 years ago. Before she ever got saved. It's like, isn't that just like the world? They don't understand the revelation and the regeneration of Jesus Christ just because somebody did something 20 years ago that that's not held against them now. And I know the world likes to do that because the world is ignorant. The world doesn't understand regeneration. They sure don't understand the things that I've said this morning. Right, the things that I've said, if we had more YouTube watches and visits and all of that, our channel would be bumped off the air. We'll probably fly under the radar with 174 subscribers. We're probably safe. But what if I decided to run for dog catcher? Can you imagine what they'd say about me? How could he say he's pro-life? He had a speeding ticket 20 years ago. If he cared about life, he wouldn't be speeding. I would be every phobic with a fill in the blank in front of it, right? Which is a stupid term anyway. All those are stupid. It has nothing to do with fear. Just got to laugh at what we call the religion of leftism, which has become the dominant religion of our day. And I believe Christians absolutely should run for political offices. They ought to get, we ought to be embedded in that. And yes, well, we're going to bring our views of the world with us. We're not going to leave those. So therefore, we're going to be pro-life. We're going to be anti-children being having their genitals mutilated when they're 8 years old by transgender activists. We're going to carry a lot of different views that are going to cause the world to really hate us. And they'll start digging. Well, you know, back in 1987, I hear he did some things. Like, dear God, that was 40 years ago. Yeah, you know. He's trying to tell people now. Because the world is blind. They don't understand the regeneration power of Jesus Christ. Think what you may about Herschel Walker. I will mention that name. The fact that he may or may not have paid for an abortion 20 years ago is irrelevant to what he believes today and how Jesus has changed his life today. All that, people say, well, how about what he did? Said the man who beat his wife a couple years ago. I'm running for office too. We won't talk about that, but let's talk about Herschel. What I'm saying is the world, this is the point I'm making. The world doesn't understand a lot of the kingdom of God and the things of God because they cannot. They're blind. It takes a spiritual revelation. It takes regeneration. So whenever you hear dirt thrown on somebody and you examine them and you say, well, they sound like they could be a Christian. They probably are. We have two competing worldviews today. We have leftism and we have biblical morality. I want to tell you, the only people that are standing up for pro-life issues and going against, you know, carving up the genitals of an under 18-year-old and giving healthy 14-year-old girls full mastectomies because the devil lied to them and they think they're a boy. The only people that are standing against that are Christians. Because there's no reason for anyone else in the world to really stand. Now, you could probably find some exceptions, but I want to tell you, biblical morality is its own thing today. And I want to tell you, if you stand with biblical morality, you're going to be standing against the dominant religion of our world today. Are you with me? A regenerated heart's a heart that hears. I want to skip ahead. Number two. For those who are regenerated, a hearing ear requires a repentant heart. This is an ongoing thing. This is why we must live a lifestyle of repentance. We have to repent daily. We need to make sure the deck is clear daily. Paul said, I die daily. We got to die to our flesh daily. We have to be quick to repent of unbelief or doubt. If you've got doubts, friends, you got to deal with them. You got to confront them. You got to confront things in your life. And listen, let me tell you that something that manifests in a lot of people's life, critical spirit, negative spirit, faithless, and it all comes through their words.
You see, I find it interesting that Isaiah was quick to see in God's holy presence that his sin problem was connected to his mouth. Read it. He says, "Woe to me, I am undone. For I am a man who has unclean lips." In the presence of God, he recognized somehow, some way, the sin problem that he had and the people he lived with had was connected to their lips. And that's why we say this morning, if we are unthankful, ungrateful, negative, sarcastic in our speech, we won't be able to hear God. I don't care if you walked the aisle and prayed a prayer and got a membership card. I don't care what the story is. If you maintain a negative, critical, sarcastic heart, I want to tell you, you won't hear the voice of God. We have to repent of that. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. If we're speaking death, negativity, fear, how do we think we're going to hear God? I throw fear in there too. God doesn't know fear. God doesn't speak the fear language. When we live from fear, when we live from doubt, we are agreeing with Satan and we're not going to be able to hear the voice of God. And I'm convinced that what we speak, we attract. Can I just go a little further here this morning? Who we're friends with says a lot about who you are. Show me your friend circle. Or maybe you wouldn't want to. Maybe you would. I don't know. That could be terrifying for some people here. If we examine our friend circle and there's a low, what I would call an FQ. Do your friend circle, do they have a low FQ? What's FQ? Faith quotient. You've heard of IQ? I didn't say if your friends are low IQ. I said do they have low FQ? Do they have a low faith quotient? How will we grow in faith? How do we expect to climb the mountain of the Lord if the people we hang around use foul language, if they party all the time, if they speak negative, faithless junk? I want to tell you, you won't grow. In fact, you will be just like them given enough time. I've seen this. This for me, this is beyond debate. I've just seen this so many times in over the years in ministry. There's even a little phrase that we've coined that someone else made it up, but it's true. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I think it was Forbes magazine did an article a couple years ago. I thought it was interesting. They said young adults in America, when they took in their five, they examined their five, whoever did the survey, they examined their five closest friends as a couple. And interestingly enough, their five closest friends, they all made about the same amount of money. They all were, and they went down the line. It's like they had so much in common. The people we hang around, we become like. We tend to be similar wage earners. We tend to live in echo chambers. We tend to live in friend groups that just repeat what we think and say the same thing. And if we get in a friend group that is speaking or not speaking about Jesus or not lifting us up in faith or not lifting up, causing us to grow spiritually, I want to tell you, it's going to have a price. It's going to take an effect on you. So a repentant heart is eliminating the things around me and in me that are hindering my ability to hear the Holy Spirit. When I mention King Solomon, what do we think? What is he known for? No trick question here. King Solomon was a W, as a W word. He was wise. He had a lot of wisdom. Well, he did have a lot of wives too. That'd be a W word also. He lost a little bit of his wisdom toward the end of his life, unfortunately. But you know how he got his wisdom? Y'all know? It came from the Lord. He was making an offering. He was giving burnt offerings to the Lord. And the Bible says one time he brought 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. That's like expensive. And the Bible says the Lord came to him and said, "Solomon, I see your offerings. What do you want from me?" 1 Kings 3:9, you can look it up. You know what the Hebrew says? "Lord, I want a hearing heart." that gets translated wisdom a lot. But he literally in the Hebrew, he said, Lord, I want the ability to hear you. And isn't that wisdom? If we're hearing from God and we're following what God says and we got a clear line of communication, that is wisdom. And that's what Jesus said. And the scripture tells us in the book of James, the wisdom that comes from above, right, is first pure, then it's peaceable. And then we get this lineup. And then he says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask the Father from above. A hearing heart. It's a wise person who seeks to have a hearing heart. So we have a hearing heart. We maintain a repentant lifestyle before the Lord. And I'm going to say one more thing because there's something that is critically important to know about a hearing heart. And it's this right here. A hearing ear. I know I keep saying hearing heart, but it's connected, right? A hearing ear always drives you towards Jesus. If you think you're hearing from God. Okay, here's a test. Here's a test. Everybody pay attention. If you think you're hearing from God, are you closer to God today than you were 6 months ago? Okay? Because you see, if you're hearing from God, it's going to always drive you towards Jesus. You've heard me say this before. We say this all the time, but the attack against Christianity is not personal. It's ancient, right? And what is it? It's an attempt to discredit Jesus Christ. In the neighborhood I live in, I've got nice neighbors, but on one side I have Muslims, on the other side I have Jehovah's Witnesses, right? And there's me in the middle. I'm the guy with a big Jesus script sign on my front yard for Christmas. Muslims believe Jesus, well, is a good teacher. No, that's an insult. He's God. But they will at least give homage to Jesus of some level, but not enough, right? On the other side, you have Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Again, what's their deal? They don't believe Jesus is God. And their discredited Bible translation, the New World Translation, and their discredited founder, and their discredited Bible translator guy, Frederick Franz, were all proven to be a fraud. And they took the Greek and they twisted it to say what they wanted it to say in order to do what? Lessen Jesus Christ. That's what it's always about. I don't care what false religion you belong to. I don't care what the situation. Anyone who would want to clown baby Jesus, anybody who would want to diminish God, diminish Jesus, diminish who he is, that is the spirit of Satan. If you are hearing what God is saying, he will move you towards one person and one person only. The person who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The person who said before Abraham was, I am. The person who told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders and the priests on his trial. He said, next time you see the Son of Man, he'll be coming on clouds of glory. And they go, blasphemy. This man claimed to be God. Yeah. That's who Jesus is. And that's what the devil tries to discredit. So if you're hearing from God, you're moving towards Jesus. If you think you're hearing from God but not moving towards Jesus, you're hearing from something else. Because Jesus is God's statement on this earth. Hello. Jesus is God's statement on that. Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus is our way to the Father. A hearing heart will drive us towards Jesus. Sometimes I've heard people ask, why did Jesus speak in parables? And I've heard people say, well, he spoke in parables to try to illustrate truth, but that's actually not true. Jesus spoke in parables to conceal the truth. He wanted people whose hearts who were ready to receive it. And that was the concern he mentions in Matthew. No one wanted to be a part of that group that is always hearing but never hears. That was always an indictment on where you were spiritually. Because everybody, every Jewish person remembered that encounter that Isaiah had. And that's the Bible they had. And they all knew Isaiah said that was the message to give people who are damned. That's the message to give people who don't know God. That's the message to give people who have resisted God. They have ears to hear, but they're not hearing. They have eyes to see, but they're not seeing. And when everybody heard Jesus say that in Matthew 13, that set an alarm off for them, because that was a way of saying these people, even though they claim to know God, they don't know Him. Because if they knew Him, they would receive Jesus. If they knew Him, they could hear, but they can't.
See the problem there? Then we get to Revelation, and sure enough, what's the Holy Spirit saying? Let me see, Revelation was written 90, 80, 60 years after Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is still giving that message to the seven churches. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. It's that important. We need to hear so we can return to our first love. Hear so we can sit on the throne with the Lord. That's what he says in Revelation. We need to hear so we can make the right course corrections, so we can repent, so we can pull out of things we need to pull out of, and we involve ourselves in the things we need to involve in, and we get things wacky and backwards and upside down. It's because we're not hearing what the Lord is saying. There are people who have absented themselves from church, and I want to tell you, it's wrong. It's wrong. Because God has called us to assemble. He has called us to meet together. He has called us to be a body that connects and functions together. And I want to tell you, it's the enemy of our soul that tries to push us apart. But I want to tell you, if we're hearing God, we know what the Spirit is saying. We know that God is calling us to do, because we're reading in His Word and we're having it confirmed by the voice of the Holy Spirit inside. I want to share this quick dream that God gave me, and I'll close. I'm going to pray. Last Saturday night, the Lord, I believe it was a dream from the Lord. And it was the very last dream. It was early in the morning. I want to say it's like 5 a.m. It was the very last dream I had before I woke up. Very vivid. You know, sometimes you have nonsensical dreams. And sometimes you have dreams with a message that God speaks to you. I've had dreams where, like, I'm not even aware. Like, my wife said, you were praying in tongues last night. And I'm like, I don't even remember. Sometimes I'll do remember. I say, oh yeah, well, let me tell you this dream. The Lord gave me a dream, and I was in this large convention center. There's lots of people. And I was walking through here, there was something that just wasn't right. It seemed like there was people that, and they all were trying to conceal stuff. They all were kind of, I know the word shiesty is funny, but it's real. I mean, it's kind of, they all had that shifty, this kind of look, and they were putting things down, and they were hiding stuff under chairs, and they had this look of, we're hiding stuff. And it was a lot of people. And the dream got even crazier, because I saw famous people, and I've never dreamed about presidents. I saw two presidents in this dream. One was our current president. I saw, it seemed they were concealing things. There were things that they had done and things that had gone on, and they had lied, and it was everybody. And what the Lord was showing me, from the smallest to the greatest, people I had no clue who they were to people that I easily recognized. Like, yeah, I know. Wow. Yeah. There's President so-and-so from back in the day. And I saw this. In my dream, I was like, Lord, what's going on here? And I heard the voice of God speak to me in this dream. He said, Eric, anytime you're ready for revival, all you have to do is repent of all your sin, get rid of all your secrets, get rid of everything you're hiding, and in that moment I will come in and change everything. And I just felt that was a message for the church. It was the day before our freedom encounter, and I shared that with the awesome group of people we had at our freedom encounter a week ago Saturday. And I thought it was so super appropriate there, but I feel it's an appropriate dream to share for the entire body of Christ. Any moment you're ready to unload and repent of any secret things, any shiesty things, any shifty things that are going on that you're involved in, or friends that you have that are blaspheming the name of God, and yet you smile and you spend time with them, and they're dragging down the name of Jesus. They're dragging your Lord and Savior, and you sit there and say nothing and take it. I want to tell you, the Lord is calling us to repent and come out of that mess. Because I'm convinced revival is available at the moment we do that. Come clean from every known sin, every known compromise, every known secret. Lord, we're going to lay it all out. And we're going to come clean. And the Lord will change our lives. The Lord will change this church. He will change churches. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked, hidden sin, then will I hear them from heaven. I'll do two things. I'm going to forgive their sin, and then I'm going to heal their land. Maybe America is waiting for the church to get right. How can we pray for revival out there when we're still sitting on our duffs in here looking at our phones? Oh, we won't settle except when I got my cell phone. I think the best, Julie, you have to hold me back. I feel like the best thing some of us can do is take a hammer to your cell phone, put it right in the dead center, hammer it as hard as you can, and just go get you a flip phone. All right? Just go back to, I can do text and I can do calls. I've contemplated that, Brother Dylan. Maybe the best thing, and I've deleted all my social media apps off my phone. I've gotten rid of, there's a convicting quality when I realize how much time I spend on a phone and I can't stand in a worship service for 30 minutes. I can't sing. I can't worship. I sit there and look around bored because my mind is addicted to a cell phone. I have to look. No. Take a hammer. And hit it right square in the middle. Some of you have revival right there. Some of you are rolling your eyes at me right now. That's because you're still bound. And I say that in love. The Lord wants to free you. You don't even know you're bound. Think how tragic the story of the young man. Avicii, 27 years old. He was a famous, I don't know what they call those guys. I do, but a jockey, disc jockey. You know, he played music. Right? Yeah. Y'all have heard his songs, even though you may not know it. But right before his suicide, his song, Wake Me Up When This Is Over. I'm wiser and I'm older. Right? Y'all know that song. One line in that song always gripped my heart. And especially after he committed suicide, I thought of this. He said, all this time, I was trying to find something, but I didn't even know I was lost. That's a line in his lyric. All this time, I was trying to find something, but I didn't even know I was lost. You see, it's possible to be lost in church. It's possible to be lost with a Bible on your lap. It's possible to be lost hearing messages and here. I want to tell you, we have to pray that God would sensitize our heart. And that's why I want us to stand right now, lift your hands to the Lord. And that's just the first thing right now is, God, I ask that you would sensitize my heart to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just want to ask that you wash away all of my sins. God, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If there be any, that listen, David had to pray this. God, if there be any secret sin in me, God, remove it from me. God, if there's things that I don't know, I'm not aware of that I do, or God, if there's things that I am aware of and I'm holding on to them, Lord Jesus, I want to lay them down right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to turn from everything that is hindering my spiritual healing. Come on, can we all lift our hands to the Lord? Come on, this is the humbling sign of surrender. Lord, right now, I surrender fully to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.